Well, a God morning to you, and welcome back to the God School. So, the job of a teacher of the Word of God is to edify the church, that is, those who belong to the Lord. You know, I've used this word edify often, but the other day I decided to go to Webster's Dictionary and just look up the definition of the word edify or edification. And here's what it says: the act of edifying. Improvement and progress of the mind in knowledge, in morals, or in faith, and holiness. We've talked about faith. Holiness comes out of the Greek word hagios. It means those who are committed or have committed themselves or have been sanctified by God. So today, I want to go to one of the most famous chapters in the Old Testament, over these many years at the Bible Museum, we have offered individual pages that we have collected from unrepairable Bibles, and the most popular, the biggest demand was for Psalm 23, but in a close second is Psalm 91. Now, I've been going through some things, and by God's grace, I had to return. I didn't have to. I was returned to this psalm. So today we're going to look closely, give a closer look at Psalm 91. Now, the writer of this psalm is not described. It might be David or another writer. But the truth that is portrayed in this psalm like all of God's word, God has preserved it that we might run to it, that we might lean upon it. And these run to and lean upon, these are faith words in the Old Testament. So let's go to the King James. We'll start with the King James and do our best to get to the root of this Word of God. And it says in the first verse, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Now, my teacher, my pastor, had a doctorate in philosophies of education. He was a philosopher. And as important as anything else to a philosopher was to bring out the meaning of words. So we're going to make this attempt with God's help this morning to get, as I said earlier, to the root. First of all, it says, he that dwelleth. The word in the Hebrew is a participial word. It actually says, he that is dwelling. It goes on to say, in the secret place. The secret place. So, you know, the Hebrew is a picture language. Words can have many meanings. So oftentimes I go to the Septuagint translation, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures done between 200 and 100 BC. And it had become the scripture of authority by the time Jesus Christ had come. And the word is very interesting. I want to take us to, you don't have to turn, but please listen, give ear to what's being said. In the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews, it says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, unmerited favor, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And the word to find help, it's biotheia. It is, if you would, like the emergency room. When you need it, you need it. And it says here, he that is dwelling in the secret place, in the protection, in the emergency room of the Most High, shall abide. That means to live in a continual place, to live, if you will, in the help zone, under the shadow, King James says, of the Almighty. The word here is Shaddai, and we have this name of God, El Shaddai. And the picture in the Hebrew is that of a mother. The literal is the breasted one. That place of comfort and of nourishment and of protection at the breast of the mother. I need to back up for a minute and tell you, this psalm, many of you have already heard this, but for perhaps a new listener, this psalm is like a play, and it has three speakers. And this first verse is in the third person. It is the voice of those who, perhaps angels, perhaps all those who have gone before us and have experience, it's a voice of experience speaking, making proclamations through experience with our God. Then there is the first person, and you'll find the first person speaking in the second and in the ninth verses of this psalm. And then there is that third person, and that third person is God, our Father. So with that outline, we start again with He that is dwelling in the biothea of the Most High, Elyon, shall abide, shall continue under the shadow of Shaddai. Verse 2, as we've said, is first person. King James reads, "And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." I want to take this and offer a more literal translation than what the King James says. I will say to the Lord, the refuge of me, and the fortress of me, and the God of me, in whom I will trust. The Hebrew word here is batak, and it means to lean with your whole weight, with the expectation and or hope that that staff that you're leaning upon will uphold you. Now we're going to go through many promises here from those who have experience with God. Back to that third person, that crowd of witnesses, whether they be angels or other Old Testament saints, it says, surely He shall deliver thee, you, from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. This word deliver is natsal, and it means to snatch away. He shall snatch away thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. Here's the word, the other Hebrew word, for faith, hasa, and it means to run to the shelter of a mother bird's wings or the shelter of a rock. King James says, His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. This word is, it says, His truth, amen, His faithfulness. God's faithfulness to His word. As He has spoken, so shall He do. And as He has said, so shall it be. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Boy, this last weekend we saw an arrow. Fly through Donald Trump's ear. I am grateful for the protection of God in that event for Donald Trump. That's all I'm going to say about that. Nor that pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth in noonday. This is personalized evil. This pestilence, this is destructive diseases. We came through COVID. Many of you relying on God's protection, not the word of government, which is an enemy of God because it thinks it is God. There's a mouthful. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. That's talking about that pestilence. Bah, hallelujah. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Now the 9th verse, now all those are that choir, if you will, of witnesses testifying to the experience and knowledge of God. It says in the 9th verse, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, the Most High thy habitation, I think, as I was taught, even the Most High, thy habitation is added by the translators. Literally, what it's saying, and this is back to the first person speaking, yea, the Lord is my refuge. The Lord is the refuge of me. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. This is back to this choir of witnesses speaking. Has any evil befallen you, brothers and sisters? If you are in Christ, and Christ is in you, and you are now living a life of faith, we become a target of the God of this world, of the devil. But it will not have the last word. It says, for he shall give his angels, his messengers, if you will, that's what an angel is, charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Do you know, the devil probably knows more scripture than any of us. And he even attempted to use this scripture against Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who in the beginning was face to face with God. And he attempted to use God's word against Jesus, that he might tempt him. And what did Jesus say? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. This is found in that fourth chapter of the book of Matthew, on the Mount of Temptation. I love this verse. The meaning really doesn't come out. We'll read it. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under thy feet. These are little demons. These of those dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, and that help zone shall abide, and through the word and power of God, we shall be able to tread upon the lion, the demon and the adder, the demons and the young lion and the dragon, all those things from hell and the devil. Now we come to the third person speaking, who is God. That's the 14th, 15th, and 16th verses of this 91st Psalm. I'm going to read it and then we're going to go back. Because he shall set his love upon me, therefore I, God speaking, will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Oh, wait a minute. I thought I was taught no Christian's going to have any trouble. Well, you've been taught wrong. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? Let's go back. Literally, this word translated because, and it's God speaking, is yay or hooray. He has, King James says, set his love upon me. No, this word has to do with clinging, holding on to God and his word and his promises. It has to do, in the Greek, in the Septuagint, it says, the word set his love upon me is elpis, and it's hope, and hope through faith in God and his word. By it we cling unto God. And in doing that, therefore, I will deliver him. This word is, in the Hebrew, is palat. In a better translation is I will bring the one who's clinging to me in hope and faith into a secure place, into the secret place, into that abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Remember that. Therefore, I will deliver him. I'll bring him into security. I will set him on high because he has known my name. The word in the Hebrew is, for known is yada. And oftentimes, this word is used in a relationship between a husband and wife. It's personal. It's not book knowledge. It is this experience that Christians, real Christians, have had with God on this journey of faith to our home, which is eternal, in heaven, with God. Because he has known my name. So many times as Jesus, who came to remove God from behind a curtain wherein it says no man has known God, but Christ has put God on display. Jesus calls God his Father. When the Jews were accusing him before they crucified him, they accused him of being a blasphemer because he called God his Father. Oh, in this knowledge of God, that we would come daily, even hourly, to use that name of God, our Father, or our, or my Father. Think on that. Dwell on that name of God, which Jesus tells us to call God Father. It says, He shall call upon me. So often when we read the life of King David, we read the phrase, and David inquired of the Lord. We have that same privilege through Jesus Christ to call upon our Father. And it says about that calling, I will answer him. Doesn't say, I'll do it immediately. But it does say, I will answer him. Look unto God our Father and call upon him. This is a relationship that a father has to his children and his children to the Father. God loves to hear from his children. And God does answer and respond to our call. It says, I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. This is a different word. This is halat, not palat, halat. And it means to set free. Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We are free. To call upon our Father. Because of what Jesus has done, he took that which separated us from God upon himself, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, that is our sin, not only our sinful actions, but our sinful condition. The word in the Greek for the New Testament is very simple. It is hamartia. It means to fall short. But Jesus, by the will of the Father, has, through his death on the cross, set us free from that which separated us from God. And it set God free. Now, to deal with us again. As a father, I will deliver him. And And there is part of that word which adds an intensity to that deliverance. I will set him free. With long life will I satisfy him. And God speaking, and show him my salvation. The Hebrew word here, being translated salvation, is Yeshua. And this name, Yeshua, in the Hebrew, is the cognate for the Greek, Jesus. God, our salvation. Salvation is a work of God which he did through Jesus Christ, that we might live throughout eternity with God, our Father, and our Lord, Jesus Christ. I hope that today's message has brought to you knowledge. And has improved knowledge generally and particularly in progress of the mind and knowledge and morals and or in faith. To the one dwelling in that help zone, in that emergency room, in that secret place of the Most High, who is abiding under the shadow of that picture of our Mother God, who comforts, who gives nutrition, and who protects. I hope you will, along with me, say to God, you are the refuge of me, the fortress of me, the God of me, in whom I will trust. And that's the God School for today.